In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Near the end of the service, I will pray a blessing upon you. We'll pray together. And recently I've been using this blessing. May the peace of Christ go with you wherever Christ may send you. May Christ guide you through the wilderness, empower you through the storm. May Christ bring you home rejoicing at the wonders God has shown you. May Christ bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. This is not a blessing of my composition like most blessings. Its origins are somewhat shadowed, but it's used by in a book called Common Prayer, which is just a prayers for the whole year. It's used each day in that book of prayers. It starts about with Christ sending us. The presumption is that Christ sends us out to join in Christ's harvest work. And even though this is not an Episcopal prayer, it echoes our own prayers. When we do the service of confirmation, one of the prayers we pray over the confirmands and those who are received or reaffirmed their baptismal vows asks God to send them, the confirmands, send them forth in the power of the Spirit to perform the service you set before them. We pray that God would empower, right? So many of you have been confirmed or have in some way owned your Christian faith, and it's that prayer we pray for you. And it doesn't just end on the day of the confirmation, does it? It's a prayer of sending to the service Christ sets before you. And if that's not enough to convince you, in your own bulletin today, the prayer from Enriching Our Worship says, "Now send us forth, a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior." Now, I've had some experiences in my life when I've sort of been sent out officially, and I don't just mean by the church. Some years ago, when I was in Dallas, the rector of a church there, our church had a lot of educators in it, and we had a partnership with a public school that was around the corner. And one fall, the school district recruited volunteers to go out before school started in August to knock on the doors of families whose children were either new to the district or who had had attendance issues in the past. And so they sent us out in teams, partners, sort of like the disciples going two by two, but they sent us out in teams with a list, and we were expected to take notes and report back on who we got to talk to and what they said and whether they needed some more support. On that hot August Dallas afternoon, I mean, have you been to Dallas? You think it's hot down here? There's concrete, so much concrete, so hot. On that hot day, we went to a densely populated apartment complex. That's where my team was sent. And we encountered some challenges. We went to apartments where the people in the apartment were not the people that were supposed to be in the apartment. I mean, they were probably the people supposed to be in the apartment, but not the people on our list, because those households had relocated. We went to apartments where we received negative reactions to strangers ringing the doorbell. Now, I've never reacted negatively to a stranger ringing my doorbell for no reason in the middle of the day. And we met people who didn't speak our language. In the apartments in that area of Dallas near where my church was, you encounter the languages of the world. A lot of immigrants and refugees. So those who sent us out knew the risks, but asked us to volunteer anyway. Because the mission was so important because school districts know that if kids are going to finish the school year, one of the best predictors is that they're there on the first day. Showing up on the first day is a key to the success for the students to pass the grade. And so the goal that we had was to get the students there on the first day by making sure the parents or guardians knew what they needed to know, beginning with which day was the first day of school. The experience was elating sometimes. Families that were so overjoyed to have a little help, but it was also frustrating and discouraging because people didn't want to talk to us or they were resentful, and sometimes we couldn't find the families, and so it felt very unfinished. But we reported back and we went on our way. So many of the missions on which we are sent out are like that. Some weird combination of elation and frustration and discouragement and unfinishedness. Henry Nouwen, who is a great Christian pastor and thinker, wrote that one of the most important spiritual disciplines is to develop the knowledge that the years of our lives are years on a mission. The years of our lives are years on a mission. Nouwen suggests that mission for the follower of Christ is not just the official sending events, like the effort to improve student attendance on the first day of school, or the mission on which the 70 were sent out. Mission for the follower of Christ is a way of life, all of our life, an orientation looking back to the God who saves and sends us, with our commission ringing in our ears, go forth, and looking forward to the time when we will share the highs and lows and seek forgiveness for our blunders and celebrate the moments when Christ's light shines through and around us. Nouwen says, when we live our lives as missions, we become aware that there is a home from which we are sent and to which we have to return. When the message has been delivered and the project is finished, we want to return home to give an account to God of our mission and to rest from our labors. We want to return to God when we have lived well or had the courage to face, the courage in the face of hatred, or gave ourselves for the sake of another. That's life in mission. From the moment of our baptism till our final breath, from dawn's first light that stirred you from your pillow this morning, to the moment our weary and creaky bones will lie down again tonight. We are sent by God to be about God's business in all the mundane moments of our lives. Those 70 we read about in today's gospel, those 70 were sent out. They weren't the rock stars. The mission of the 12 had already gone out. And the mission of the 12 was similar. That is, Jesus said, don't take anything with you. Keep at it. The matter is urgent. Preach peace, heal the sick, proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus had sent forth the 12, his close disciples, and as the crowds came around and the disciples did their mission, more came, and the harvest was plentiful. But there weren't enough workers to gather the harvest, and so Jesus took the next, right, the second string. And the second string was bigger, 70. Out, two by two, go forth, preach peace, heal the sick, proclaim the kingdom of God. Be with the people and for the people, because I'm coming. That's the charge of the 70. Enter and greet the household with peace. Eat what's set before you. Cure the sick. And say, the kingdom of God has come near you. Why? Why does Jesus send them out? We sometimes think about some sort of idyllic existence there in Palestine, this peaceful little mission. You know, go talk to some people who want to talk about spiritual things. No! Jesus sent them out because he sent them out with peace because the people didn't have peace. He sent them out to cure the sick because there was no healing to be had. He sent them out to say the kingdom of God has come near because everything around them told them that God had forgotten them. These were the people who endured the hardships of life, illness, injury, oppression. They were vulnerable to the changes and chances of life. That is, they were people like us and like our neighbors in this world of ours. Even as Jesus sent the 70, he told them to pray the next crew into existence. You see, that harvest that was plentiful in Jesus' day, it's even more plentiful today. Here in Texas, across the United States, across the globe, those hungry souls yearning to be united with God and with one another in peace. The harvest is plentiful, and there just aren't enough laborers going out. The fact that they are sent out like lambs in the midst of wolves points out that there is both a need and an urgency. There is no time to waste. The mission will not be comfortable. It will not be safe. You, he said, will have moments of success and trial, but you will be invited to rejoice, remembering that your names are written in heaven because you are beloved of God. This is the mission. The mission on which they are sent is the same mission on which we are sent. It is the same mission that has gathered us in, the same work that has enfolded us in Christ's love. We have been loved and saved. We have come to know the source of peace. And so we are sent out to share the gift we have received. Now, we're here on a holiday weekend, and I'm glad to see some in red, white, and blue, intentionally or not. We are privileged to live in this marvelous country, in this beautiful state. And it is tempting, even for preachers on this weekend, to preach about serving the nation. And yet, I want to be really clear with myself first and also with you. When Jesus sends out his followers, he does not do so with the aim of a nationalistic agenda, no matter what the nation of the disciples. When Jesus sends out his disciples, he does not send them out with a political agenda, no matter what their party. In fact, Jesus doesn't even send out his followers in service to the temple or the state house or even the institutional church. Jesus sends his disciples out in service to the coming near kingdom of God, which knows none of our preferences for divisions, parties, power, or our treasured privileges and identities. When we go out with those things as our guiding values, we have missed the whole point of the journey. Jesus sends his disciples out to every town and village to which he prepared to go. And in our day, that would be any place where God's children lack peace, healing, and the good news of God's love. The people and communities thus invited and healed become apostles of peace and healing. People governed by a different ethic than our patriotism. People governed by an ethic that is not self-serving, but gospel-serving orientation. Today, I will send you out, just like Michael and your other priests who serve here and lay people who lead you in morning prayer. We will send you out to do the work God sets before you. We send you out as a people on mission, and the charge is clear. Preach peace. Be engaged in acts of healing and attention to those who are broken and wounded. And tell people that the love of God has come near and surrounds them and invites us to live with one another in peace, engaged for the good of all. Amen. Amen.